Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe we're already into September. Where did the summer go? Where did Labor Day go? This, of course, is the 20th anniversary of the September 11th tragedy, so do want to take a little pause and note that. Want to give a big shout-out to my last week's guest, Dr. Richard Berryman, who is a Northeast Delta Dental in-house dentist consultant who really did a great job describing not dental, but Rotary International and his role in that organization, both nationally and locally. But this week in joining me is Dr. Artis Olson, and we'll be talking about HPV. We've done this show every year on HPV, and I know our dental community and our community of subscribers really appreciate the information. So, Artis, I know you're very busy, Dr. Olson, so thank you for sharing a few moments with us this weekend of September 11th and 12th.
Thank you.
And so you are a pediatrician researcher at the Norris Cotton Cancer Center at Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center. And in the spirit of transparency, I'm actually on the Dartmouth-Hitchcock Hospital Board, so know all about your great work. So tell us about your research that you've done, as well as your knowledge on vaccines in general, and specifically HPV. So then we'll probably need to describe for the audience the human papillomavirus. But why don't you talk about your background? The audience is always interested in knowing about our esteemed guests.
So for a long time, I've done research about how do we improve things in the community and in our practices and our primary care providers. And a few years ago, it became very apparent that we had an issue around HPV vaccine in our region. So I've gotten involved studying what leads to us giving vaccines in our region and what are the concerns in parents and how to help health providers discuss HPV with families. In the course of this, I've become a member of a statewide coalition, HPV Free New Hampshire, where people from many different fields that work statewide to educate about HPV and the HPV vaccine.
So let's start right there, and basically let's get right to the nub of it. What is HPV, and why is it a concern?
So HPV is short for human papillomavirus, and it's a very common virus that infects the skin, genital area, and the lining of the cervix. And there are maybe between 100 and 200, by estimates, different papillomaviruses. If you get a common wart on your hand, that's a papillomavirus. However, some cause warts in the genital area, and some types, we've learned, cause cervical cancers. There are many different types that cause cancer. Two of them, 16 and 18, are the most common, and if you consider four more additional ones, you get about 90% of all the cases of cervical cancer. In 2006, we first had an HPV vaccine developed. That's over 15 years ago. And since 2014, that one protected from the four top strains. Since 2014, we have one that does the top nine strains. So this medicine, known as Gardasil, is now widely available. It's important to note people don't realize that other viruses can cause cancer, too. If you get hepatitis B, it can cause liver cancer. Epstein-Barr, the cause of mono, can sometimes cause other cancers in the immune system. But none of these cancers have a vaccine that can treat the cause of a single virus that causes the cancer, and that's HPV.
Well, so who should get the vaccine, the ages, and also perhaps give us some resource information, because obviously people always are, you know, checking the internet and Facebook, but sometimes the information there is incorrect. But let's start with who should get the vaccine.
Before I go into that, let me just back one step and
sure.
Let you know people think of HPV about cervical cancer, but it actually causes six kinds of cancer.
Wow.
And only head and neck cancers, vaginal cancers, anal cancers, and also can cause genital warts. Only screening we have is the pap smear for cervical cancers. And in recent years, we've had as many cases as head and throat cancers as we've had cervical cancers. Those are more common in males, and there have been something like 34,000 cancers per year that are coming from this virus. Now, let me go on and talk about
Wow.
who should get the vaccine.
Sure.
Vaccine is recommended to be given before, well before, people have any sexual contact that would develop, that they would catch the vaccine. When people catch HPV, quote, it is usually by these close genital contacts, but it's important to know it can be, even include deep kissing, known in people as French kissing, so, and touching of genitals. So it's not only the way people think of it, that it's from sexual intercourse. So avoiding it doesn't work very well unless you have a lifelong abstinence. This is because people don't have any symptoms. You can't tell if they have HPV. They could be carrying it for years, and you don't know it. So because of that, the many different national organizations from the Academy of Pediatrics, Academy of Obstetricians and Gynecology and Family Practice recommend that this vaccine be given, started with kids 11 to 12, although you can give it as early age 9 if you don't want to give it with the other common vaccines that are happening as kids enter middle school. The goal nationally is to have your second vaccine. It takes 2 vaccine shots if you start before age 15. To have them done by age 13. So a lot of the information I present to you is how many kids or preteens have had been fully immunized with 2 shots by the age of 13. It's an advantage to start early because your body develops stronger immunity if you start earlier. And if you start 15 or older, you need to have 3 vaccines. So under 15, 1 vaccine, and a second shot 6 to 12 months later. So what's interesting is as they've learned more, they recognize they still get a moderate amount of effectiveness if you continue to get the vaccine all the way up to age 26. It still is effective. And just this last year, for people who had a change in their life situation where they might have a new HPV exposure, they are, with physician discussion, starting to talk about giving it up to age 45 so that we can really protect our country.
Wow. So tell us some sources of information beyond people re-listening to this radio show, which will be posted on anydelta.com. And I know that when I've run the HPV show in years past, that we do get a lot of people, you know, re-listening. But you know, of course, that people tend to, you know, go onto the internet and try to get information that way, Dr. Olson. So what would be a credible source if someone chose to get information that way?
So I'm going to give you a couple. One is to go to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and go to their Vaccine Education Center. They cover a wide range of vaccines and detailed information about those vaccines. So if you have any, there's a reliable source called vaccinateyourfamily.org. And that has also lots of information. You can get at it from Twitter, twitter.com/vaxyourfamily, vaxyourfam. So those are places with more reliable information.
Awesome. So what do you think, and then we'll go to commercial break, just maybe touch on this and then we'll detail it after the commercial. What do you think is the challenge to youth getting this vaccination? Besides, I know in past years when I've had the show, there's many parents, it's like an awkward, you know, conversation sometimes. But what are some of the other challenges to youth getting, you know, getting this vaccination?
There's a couple of challenges. Let me first start with misinformation that's out there. People think that this vaccine doesn't work and that you don't need it. And because there's now 15 years of immunization experience in Australia and Northern Europe, where they have really gotten their youth vaccinated, we're starting to see now results. In Australia, there was a dramatic drop in genital warts and a dramatic drop in pre-cancer lesions of the cervix. Similar findings were found in Norway and Denmark. And so the vaccine really does work, and it's been shown to prevent HPV infection in men as well. Because there's such a long lag time between many people getting cervical cancer, 15 to 20 years, and maybe 30 to 40 years for the throat and neck cancer, we have to look at those pre-cancer lesions instead as our marker that the vaccine is working.
Wow. All right, well, we're going to expand on that after commercial break. We'll probably hear a Delta Dental commercial about keeping your smile during the pandemic. And incidentally, I'll do my PSA, my public service announcement. Even with the Delta variant, it's extremely safe to go to the dentist. The dentists are well-trained in infection control, really, since the 80s and 90s with HIV. And based on our claim counts, people are continuing to flock back to the dentist, which is a good thing. So after commercial break, we'll return with Dr. Artis Olson and more of the HPV topic. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio, and this weekend, September 11th and 12th, Dr. Artis Olson, who is a pediatrician researcher at the Norris Cotton Cancer Center at Dartmouth Hitchcock, is joining me, and we'll be talking more about the HPV situation, vaccine, etc. So again, Artis, thank you for joining me. I know you're quite busy. So we were talking about some of the challenges that exist to people comfortably getting their youthful children vaccinated. So let's continue on there, and then let's turn it around and say, how could, let's say, the dental community help on this? So let's finish up on the challenges from your experience that exist with this.
So one of the challenges that we've had is that people... some families have been concerned, is the vaccine safe? You know, there's now been over 100 million doses given, and people have been tracking the long-term safety of the vaccine. That's very important to do that in an organized way instead of just, oh, my friend had this, I think it's due to the vaccine. There have been excellent studies that show that it does not cause blood clots, allergic symptoms, strokes, seizures, this neurologic condition Guillain-Barré, birth defects, miscarriages, infertility or premature ovarian failure, or autoimmune disorders. So we really have a big bank of information now that is available to know that this vaccine is safe. So safety has been a concern for some people. It used to be thought of as a new vaccine. We now have lots of experience with it. The other challenge is getting the vaccine to people within the healthcare system and COVID. What we know is in New Hampshire is from national parent surveys. And in New Hampshire, the last surveys we have are, of course, pre-COVID. At that point, we were doing pretty good at getting the first dose in to 13 to 15 years of age. But we have about a 20% drop in youth getting the second dose, and sometimes even a little higher drop than that. So 73% for the first dose, but only 56% that have made it to have be fully immunized. So that's a real challenge. And why does that end up happening? We know that typically at 11 to 12, kids come to the doctor for their middle school shots. This is an extra shot then. Some families, I don't know. And then they need another shot 6 months to a year later. It may be that some families no longer think of health checkups after those middle school shots and are not coming regularly to the doctor. The other challenge is that if they get older before they shot, then they need those three shots, which is a little more challenging to do. Some offices have the resources to call people and contact them and send them text mails, and not all offices do. So there's some confusion when you talk to parents. Parents say, I thought my doctor would tell me. Do I really need a second dose? I didn't know that. So we really have parents needing to say, I'm going to look at my kid's immunization record. Have they had any HPV? Have they had their second one? I'm going to schedule an appointment and get them in. That in itself is challenging. Middle school and high school kids are involved in so many different activities, and it's easy to forget an appointment. So it's important to think about that part of how do you actually get vaccines in. When you look at getting your tetanus rates done, we're at 90%. But when we look at getting this vaccine in, we're much less.
It's part of it, too, human nature, because not hopefully this is not an apple and an orange, but we even with the COVID vaccine, there's a certain percentage of the population, and these are adults, that got the first shot, but not necessarily the second shot. So part of it is just people really need to get their act together with their records and understand that second, shot is important. So thanks for explaining.
It's important to know that you can give the COVID vaccine that adolescents are available along with other vaccines. There was initially some advice that you couldn't do it, but they've since understood that you can give both vaccines. So if you're trying to get the other vaccine done, this is an important time to add the COVID vaccine and the adolescent HPV.
That's great. That's another good public service announcement. So a lot of our following are dental offices, dentists themselves, but also dental office teams. How can a dentist or a dental office team help in this sort of education process? Because we know, parents are generally pretty good about getting their child to the dentist, twice a year sometimes, and you know this, but we have a new program called Health Rural Wellness. I mean, some of us, depending on different indicators, need to actually go to a dentist three or four times a year, and we have a program now that gets at that information and encourages. But for the most part, parents are getting their children to the dentist pretty regularly, so and maybe even more regularly than the annual physical. So can the dental office team be helpful in educating, on the HPV topic?
Yes, very much. Dentists, when you go to the visit, screen you for oral cancers and look in your mouth and have you look deep in your throat. So that's an important cancer that the dentists are aware of. Some parents aren't aware that you can get this other kind of cancer. So dentists can help parents be aware that it's a range of cancers that this is the best prevention for. And I agree with you. During the years from 9 to 13, they often see the dentist more than they see us if kids are healthy and they're not needing to come to the doctor. So checking about have they had this vaccine and having parents understand that it is safe and able to make important things. We've really realized this is the only vaccine we have that will prevent cancer, and that's really exciting.
Great. That's good to hear. And I know my dentist colleagues, understand the importance of this. And, in addition to this radio show, we provide written communications. So if you were to kind of summarize everything, t- tell a listening audience, you know, based on what's going on in Northern Europe and Australia, that we know that this vaccine works, and what do you think it's going to take to get the level up to, you know, maybe 90% or, you know, even 100%?
Well, there's a couple messages for different age groups. For families of children who are living at home, it's really important to know that, you know, the data I gave was just before COVID, and there's been a drop of almost a million, more than a million doses not ordered. The rates are probably down about 20% because of people being cautious about going home. So it's time for vaccine catch-up, and I think that's really important for parents to look at your vaccine records. If it's confusing, call your doctor's office. If you want more information, they're an important source to learn, and sort of say, okay, time for us to catch up and not have this become a challenge. If your child is done with high school, they very likely are in that group that never had or never finished their HPV vaccine. Up to age 26, it's covered under insurance, and it's important to talk to your late teens and young adults about making sure. We worked with a medical student in our project, and he hadn't been vaccinated, he discovered. So it's important to be aware and check what's happened. So I think that's an important message. And try to educate yourself. Don't use personal stories and misinformation. Get information from a reliable source that is not using horror stories to tell you stuff.
Great. And let's close with, once again, providing the sort of credible sources where moms and dads can get the information.
Yep. So one is going to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia website and go to the Vaccine Education Center. The other is a website, vaccinateyourfamily.org. And I didn't mention before, but the CDC always has been reputable and gives you the latest information about their recommendations. We want to make New Hampshire a leader in vaccines, not one of the states that we are saying, oh, if only we could. And I think it's time to do it.
Thank you for your leadership, and I know that you're a member of the statewide coalition of the HPV Free New Hampshire that works statewide to educate about HPV and the vaccine, and I really, really appreciate the time you've given me this week, and it's such a great, you know, public service, you know, for moms and dad, and in general, thank you for your leadership as the ultimate pediatrician researcher at the Norris Cotton Cancer Center at Dartmouth-Hitchcock. Thank you for all you do for the medical community, but also for all of us citizens and moms and dads. This will be posted on anydelta.com, so you'll be able to re-listen and write down the sources if you've been running around this weekend with your kids and haven't been able to write everything down. So, Dr. Artis Olson, thank you for joining me this weekend. Owe you a debt of gratitude for your time and how you educated us.
It's my pleasure. Look forward to helping people in our state.
Thank you. Tom Raffio returns next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental.